I don't know if you noticed, but I have no notes this morning. No notes. So this is either going to be real quick, or we're going to be here a long time. Story time with Pastor Mike. The story goes like this. As most of you know, my upbringing back in the city of Pittsburgh, I was brought up as a very Catholic boy in a very Catholic family, in a very Catholic neighborhood in the suburbs of Pittsburgh. I went to a very Catholic church and attended a very Catholic school. Most of my school friends, they were very Catholic, just like I was. But as a youngster, I realized that not everybody in my neighborhood, on my street, was as Catholic as I was, even though they had the name Catholic attached to their family or their name. You see, in my eyes, they did some things that weren't very Catholic. Two of them were this. Some of the kids went to public schools. How could a Catholic child go to a public school? Second was this. Some of them in my neighborhood who said they were Catholic did not go to church on Sunday morning. How could they not go to church? These are the things that you do when you're a good Catholic person. One of those families on my street live right next door to us, the Kelsick family, Mr. and Mrs. Kelsick and their two young children. Their two children were smaller than me, younger than me. They went to a public school. How could that be? See, I couldn't understand these things because Catholics are supposed to do certain Catholic things. They would go to church, well, at least three of them. Mrs. Kelsick would go to church and should take her two children with her. You never saw Mr. Kelsick at church. Never. But one Easter Sunday morning, there we were, the Owen family, going to our Catholic church, and we sat in our Catholic pew. And lo and behold, a few minutes later, what happens? Here comes the Kelsick family in the side door. Mrs. Kelsick, the two children, and would you believe it? Mr. Kelsick is with them. And I thought to myself, they're becoming a real Catholic family because they're all at church here on Sunday morning. And I felt so good about the fact that they were all there. And now they could rise to the occasion of being almost as Catholic as me. I never forget what happened when that church mass was over. 8 o'clock mass, that was the one we went to all the time. And as we were leaving, going out the side door, the Kelsick family was in front of us. And we were walking behind them, and I still remember the look on Mr. Kelsick's face, and I remember exactly the words that he said. He turned around, and he looked at all of us, and he said this, and I quote, I still remember this. Well, that will hold me for another year. End quote. I thought at that time, in my young age, I thought there was some possibility that they might become a real Catholic family, but I guess Mr. Kelsick just isn't buying into this. So, but you know, me and Mr. Kelsick, we had some differences. But me and Mr. Kelsick at that time in my life, we really had some similarities. The differences between me and Mr. Kelsick, I went to church every Sunday. No, that's Mr. Kelsick. Mikey went to church every Sunday because that's what You do. Mr. Kelsick, he only went to church maybe once a year. And on that, it was Easter Sunday morning. There was also another difference that I would say that we had, but they're kind of similar in a way, and I'll explain that. You see, Mr. Kelsick attended church once a year out of guilt. He was guilted into being there. The guilt brought him to church. Mikey, I went to church every Sunday out of obligation because I had to be there. They may sound like differences, but they are oh so similar. Because you see, neither one of us was right. We were both gone for all the wrong reasons. One out of guilt, one out of obligation, neither one being the right answer. If someone was to ask me, what is the biggest lie that is told in the world today, we could probably sit here and come up with a lot of different answers. But let me tell you what I think is the biggest lie that's told in the world today. And that is this: my outward religious efforts get me a place in heaven. Let me say that again. My outward religious efforts get me a place in heaven. They're good enough to save me. You see, that's why Mikey spent the whole first 40 years of his life doing all this obligation stuff. Because Mike wanted to look good on the outside. It's sort of like the Pharisees. You know, Mr. Kelsick wanted to look good at least once a year on the outside. Mikey wanted to look good every Sunday on the outside, look good. And these Pharisees here wanted to look good all the time, even washing hands. But you see, all those outside things account for nothing. Something needed to be changed with Mike. And it wasn't the outward things that I was doing. It was something on the inside that needed to be changed. You see, the only outward religious effort that will get any of us to heaven was done on the cross. And a couple days later, ended with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm presently 60 years old, and I spent the first 40 years of my life, two-thirds of it, not understanding the truth of the gospel message. I tried and I tried and I tried. And as long as I fulfill obligations, I will make it. Mr. Kelsick thought, as long as he fulfills obligations on Easter Sunday morning, he'll make it too. God will forgive him the other 51 weeks. At least he makes it on Easter. But there is something that changed in me when I was around 40 years old. Someone explained the gospel message to me. Praise the Lord for that. And how simple is it? How simple is it? I had to realize the first step in anybody's salvation process is this. I have to realize that I can't do it. I can't get me back there. Because it's already been done. The big transformation of my life came the day that I realized that all of Mikey's efforts were like filthy rags in front of God, and that the work has already been done. And all I have to do is trust, believe, and have faith in the ultimate sacrifice that was done on the cross. He died on a cross for our sins. And he rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. How simple is that? I went from washing the outside of my body, all the externals, all the obligations, to allowing Jesus Christ to wash the inside. Because you see, for a lot of people walking the face of the earth, the problem isn't on the outside. Our problem, folks, is on the inside. And that's what needs fixed. That's what needs fixed. And when I realized that I couldn't fix it, that Jesus Christ can, I'll use the term that you hear today. I invited him into my life. And I don't know if that's the correct terminology. I like to use these words. He just showed up. And he said, Mike, I'm taking over. That, my friends, was the best day of my life. So what does that mean about all these obligation things? You know, sometimes Christianity, you have to look at things in a backwards sort of way. You see, I always had the cart before the horse. I wanted to fulfill these obligations to get my way to heaven. But now, my way to heaven's already been paved through the cross and the resurrection, an empty tomb. Now, it's not that I go to church because I have to. Now I go to church because I want to. Because you see, a Savior died for me and died for anyone who wants to believe. And at least once a week, I want to show up somewhere with other people who think the same way I do. And I want to share that with other people. I want them to know that my sins have been forgiven. And I guarantee you this, my friends, there's going to be more committed by Mikey this week. And know this, they've all been covered also. And that is good news. That is good news. All those years I spent doing things out of obligation or out of guilt or whatever the reason may be, I know this. It's all been covered. It's all been covered. The blood of Jesus has saved this lost sinner. And the resurrection proves one thing. It proves this. If you just look around the sanctuary, it won't take you long to figure out that we still go through tough times, don't we? Tough things still happen. People still have surgeries. People still have pain. People still have deaths in the family. Our loved ones, they pass away and they move on. And people still hurt. And we still have family members who might not be saved. And we really want them to have what we have. And we know that there's pain in this world. But know this, because there was a resurrection, even though those things are difficult and all those things are painful, know this, because there was a resurrection, the worst thing in the world that could happen to anybody is never going to happen to me. Because the worst thing that can happen is this: I will die and go to hell. And praise God, there is an empty tomb. And because that tomb is empty, I have nothing to fear. And I have everything in the world to be excited about. I'll just end with this. Confession time. For Christmas, my son got me a CD. It's like 1,001 sermon illustrations. As a matter of fact, the story in your bulletin on the right-hand side is one of those stories from that. Some of the stories are too long and I can't put them in there. And one of them was a story about a young pastor in his early 40s. See, I can say that that's young now. Young pastor in his early 40s. His wife was on death's doorstep. She was in the hospital dying, and the next day was Easter Sunday morning. And he got a call from another pastor. And this other pastor was very excited and said, "What are you going to preach on tomorrow? Tomorrow's Easter Sunday." And this other voice on the other end of the phone was all excited about Resurrection Sunday. And there was this man dealing with his grief of knowing that at any moment his wife could pass away. And that's when he came to realize there is a resurrection. A couple days later, his wife did pass away. But he knows this: at some point in time, he will see her again. Because you see, their trust and their belief and their faith was not in a Savior who is dead, but in a Savior who has risen. And I told my son that this morning, and I said, I want to be excited about today, because today is the most exciting day in the whole church calendar, that our Savior has risen. My sins are forgiven, and my eternity is secure. And that, my friends, is the most exciting news we could ever hear. So you know what? I've just preached myself into being really excited. The worst thing that could ever happen is not going to happen to me. The worst thing that ever happened, is it going to happen to you? I certainly hope not. There's a risen Savior, my friends, and he has died on a cross and he has rose from the grave for everyone who believes and who trusts in him. He says, "I will give you eternal life. And all you got to do is reach out your hand and take it." And he says, "I'll give that to you. Oh, and then come and follow me afterwards." It's not quite that simple. There is a following that you got to do there. "I'll give you the gift and you come follow me. And the life you're about to live is going to be the most exciting life you have ever lived before in your life." And being your pastor is the greatest experience I have ever had. Let's go to God.